Matthew chapter 7. Do y'all have a bet going? Not technically. Matthew chapter 7. Talk about the straight and narrow today. Straight and narrow. Where you get that phrase from? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So this is straight as in narrow, as in Strait of Gibraltar, a straight jacket, something like that. It's not straight as in the opposite of crooked. It's straight as in narrow, confined. It's a small place there. So let's pray and give you some things on these verses this morning. Father, I thank you for, Lord, for everybody that's here this morning. I pray that you'd help us. Help us get what we need out of these verses. Help us magnify Jesus Christ this morning. And I really appreciate the things that he's done for us. And if anybody here is not saved, Lord, I pray today be the day of their salvation. They'd understand their need for Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for these words. We just don't have any right to them. We're blessed to have these words in our hands. We're blessed to have your words. And I thank you for them. I pray we'd get some help from them this morning. And again, lift up the teachers in the back, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words to the kids, and Lord, that everybody would get what they need and get fed by you today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in these verses, it's a continuation. It's of what Jesus Christ has been saying this whole time here. In Matthew 7, verse 7, let me give you a little context since it's been a while since we've been here. Matthew 7, 7, he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Notice at the end of verse 14, there's few that find the narrow way. Okay, back over here in verse 7. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. All right, ask, and he describes good gifts that God gives, good things. And those good things come by asking. I'll give you an example. When you trusted Jesus Christ, put it this way, when you received the righteousness of God, you got the righteousness of God because you asked for it. When you got forgiveness from God, you got that because you asked for it. You were looking for it. And that's one of the things that is so, it's almost depressing, but when folks who are good people, who rely on their goodness, cannot see their need for forgiveness of sins, they can't see their need for salvation in Jesus Christ. And Mary Beth was telling me about a conversation the other day, and good people and generous people, and what he said was, you know, I've been doing pretty good things all my life, and I need a church to tell me to be generous. I know how to be generous. I don't need a church to tell me how to, you know, be more. I don't need a church to tell me that. And so what happens is just like the Pharisees, just rely on your own goodness, so you're not looking for forgiveness from God. You're not even looking for justification for God, from God, because you just feel like you're already justified. And that's one of the most dangerous places to be. It's scary because people rely on themselves and just, it's a scary place to be. So all that said, when God gives good gifts like forgiveness, like justification, like eternal life, those things are gifts. And you get them by asking for them. And so when Jesus Christ says, ask and it shall be given, and he gives a little illustration of a parent giving good gifts to their children and saying, look, God is a father who gives good things. He doesn't charge you for them. You don't have to pay rent for these things. They're not on lease. They're given to you. So he says, ask, it shall be given. Seek, you get what you're looking for. If you're looking for mercy, God is a supplier of mercy. If you're looking for forgiveness, God is a supplier of forgiveness. He says, knock, and it will be opened, all right? Knock on what? is there a door that I knock on? I physically knock on this door? Oh, he'll explain. Jesus Christ is going to explain further on in these Gospels, I'm the door. I'm the one. And so, I know some of us there's certain beliefs and certain things where Jesus Christ is supposed to be teaching maybe a different form of salvation. He's not teaching a different form of salvation. There is no other salvation outside of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't go through this list of things saying all these things, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened, and saying how good God is to give good things, and then say, hey, by the way, just go ahead and keep the law and you'll get all these things too. No. He just got finished saying these things are gifts. You and I don't deserve them. We can't get them. We can't achieve them. We can't accomplish them. We need them, but we can't hold on to them. We couldn't make them appear if we wanted to. And so after all of that, verse 12, he describes the character of God. He describes how men ought to live in regards to how the way God's character is, what God's revealed about himself. And then he says this, verse 13. The reason I say that is because a lot of folks take these verses to say, okay, well, enter in at the straight gate. Okay, well, this is Jesus Christ is teaching you need to do some good things here. He hasn't taught that yet. He said every good thing is a gift. So let me explain. He says in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. All right. The gate, I remember when I was working in Houston, we had little lanyards, and you go into the building, the offices there in Houston had these little lanyards, and the lanyard was your entrance into the building. That was your righteousness. That was what said, you're not a criminal, I'm not here to harm this place. I have the lanyard, I have the ID, and I put it, before the little deal there, and it would open the door. So that was my entrance. So just as an illustration, when Jesus Christ says, enter ye in at the straight gate, look back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. The entrance into God's kingdom, the entrance into this place that Jesus Christ is talking about, the entrance into life is through righteousness. Watch this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Let's see. Is it? Oh, I'm in 6. That's why it doesn't make any sense. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what your little lanyard is there? It's righteousness. And Jesus Christ says, except your righteousness is more than these religious people, you don't have access to the kingdom of heaven. You don't have access to it. He'll say it in Luke. He talks about the kingdom of God there. But the point is, it's God's kingdom, and righteousness is the access. That's the gate. That's the way you enter into this is righteousness. Let me show it to you in the Old Testament. Look in Psalm 118. Psalms 118. Psalms 118 and verse 19. Psalms 118, verse 19. The gates are righteousness. This is your entrance into this kingdom. Psalms 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. See that? Righteousness is how you get in. That's the gate. That's the entrance. That's the accessibility to the kingdom. Righteousness is the basis of the accessibility to the kingdom. But there's going to be a little bit more specific explanation of this righteousness. Look over here in Luke chapter 13. It'll give you more specific explanation of it. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. The gates aren't just objects that have a mind of their own that open and close. Somebody is controlling the gates. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Well, I won't go into all the detail, but that sounds like somebody got to work to get in. Huh? Hang on. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell ye, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Wow. So the gates are controlled by the keeper, the master of the house, and the master of the house is the Lord. And the only accessibility into this kingdom is righteousness. All right, so here's some people, they come to these gates, and the Lord shuts the door, and they trying to get in, knocking on the door, trying to get in, and he's already shut the door. The opportunity to get in is closed now. And they say, we were with you when you were in the streets. We ate and drank with you when you were in the streets. I mean, you were here with us. And he says, I don't know who you are. They say, yeah, but, we know who you, I mean, we saw you. You were around us. I don't know who you are. That's like religious people in Israel. Here they are. They say, we're righteous because we had Jesus who showed up among us. So we had the Lord. We've got God's words. I mean, I know Jews wouldn't say they got Jesus right now, but they say, we've got God's words. We got God's promises, and that's why we're righteous. And God says, you had my promises. I mean, you had a lot of advantages, but that didn't make you righteous. And so here is not only the gate is righteousness, but the one controlling the gate. There's a master here who controls the gate. It's the Lord. And he apparently walked and talked with all these folks. It's Jesus Christ is who it is. All right, let me show you again here. God's righteousness, Paul will explain it. God's righteousness is Jesus Christ. That's God's righteousness. All right, go back over here to Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. So the gate is righteousness. And not just righteousness in general, but God's righteousness. God, you got to be acceptable to God. Right before God. Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. Says, hear me when I call, O God of what? My righteousness. God of my righteousness. Not God, see my righteousness, but you are the God of, you have my righteousness. You're the God of my righteousness. Let's show it to you again. Look in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Or Isaiah 51, 1. Isaiah 51. 51 verse 1. Isaiah 51, 1. And we're going to read to verse 6. Or I should say we'll read to verse 5 here. Isaiah 51:1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord. Well, there you go. That's interesting. Somebody's looking for him. Somebody's looking for not their own righteousness. They're looking for righteousness from God. That's David in Psalm 51. He knows he's broken the law. He's not looking for his own. He's looking for help. He's looking for mercy. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Watch this. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. Look over here in real quick, 50. I think it's 56:1. Isaiah 56:1 here. So he said, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth. Watch what he says in Isaiah 56:1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. You know what Paul says in Romans chapter 3? He says, now the righteousness of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. The righteousness of God. Now he's also talking about there's a judgment coming. If people don't want to accept the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, then the judgment's going to overwhelm them. But in the Old Testament, God said, my salvation's near to come, my righteousness to be revealed. It's coming. In Jeremiah chapter 23. Showing you all these verses about God's righteousness because righteousness is the access to the kingdom of God. That's the basis for someone entering in. Righteousness. And not your own righteousness. Not the people he's talking to. Not their righteousness. But God's righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6. Verse 5, look at verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David what kind of branch? A righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. God is pointing all through the Old Testament. Let me just take a little sidetrack here. Before Jesus Christ, the revelation of God's righteousness in the earth, God said to, Abraham as a type here, as a picture of this, God said, I am willing. Remember Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. God said this. He says, you're not righteous, Abraham, but I am willing. Until I can provide righteousness sufficient for you, I am willing to credit you with righteousness if you'll believe what I say. And so Abraham believed God in Genesis 15, and God said, I will credit that. I will account you as righteous. You're not righteous, but I'm willing to put righteousness into your bank account, into your account. I'm willing to deposit righteousness there. And I know we talked about it Wednesday night. You know, God deposits that righteousness in Genesis 15, and by Genesis chapter 17 or 20, I mean, Abraham's already stopped believing God and things like that, and he goes back and forth, and he wavers back and forth. But God never wavered on that thing. He credited Abraham with righteousness, and he said, I will credit you with righteousness until the time is sufficient, until the time has come where I can establish my righteousness, and then at that time I will give you my righteousness. So here's what happens. Abraham, you read about Abraham, you read about Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, and you read about these folks in the Old Testament who are in this place waiting. They're not in hell, but they're not in heaven. They're not before the Father. So they're in this place. They can see hell in the earth, and they can see all that. They're dead. They're waiting for the righteousness of God. And when Jesus Christ, the revelation of God's righteousness, dies and then is resurrected, the Bible says he along with his resurrection, many of the Old Testament saints come up. You know what they have now? They've got God's righteousness now. Now they're being clothed in the righteousness of God. Now they have sufficient righteousness to stand before the Father. They didn't have that before. They had credited righteousness that would keep them out of hell, but it wasn't enough to get them before the Father to ascend and all those things. And so when Paul starts explaining this righteousness and explaining the work of Jesus Christ, he says he descended. What is he that ascended? But first he descended into the lower parts of the earth. So he goes down, and then he preaches down there, and wherever the, you know, we call it Abraham's bosom, whatever, it's wherever Abraham was, death. And he goes down there, he preaches, and then he comes back up, resurrects from the dead, and then ascends up to his Father with these Old Testament saints, because now they have the righteousness of God that they've been waiting for. So God would, he was willing to credit righteousness where there was no righteousness until such a time that he could establish righteousness on the earth, and not righteousness in the way of, you know, no more wars and things like that. I'm talking about righteousness in a man that he could give to other people now. Let me show you two again here. You're in Jeremiah. Let me just give you one more in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16. You got to be careful with some of this stuff, that every heresy, every false doctrine minimizes the work of Jesus Christ and elevates what man can do. And if you teach people that before Jesus Christ, people could work their way to heaven. What you've done is saying, Jesus Christ didn't really need to be here because there was already a way. The Bible says there was no way. There was a way for God to credit righteousness to people, and he offered that. But there was no way to get to heaven. There's no way to get before the Father. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Not my righteousness in the law. Not, you know, if you obey most of the commandments, you'll be all right. Well, I'll get to that in a second. Over here in Romans chapter 5. Some folks, you get the idea that, okay, there was a way to get to heaven under the law, and Jesus Christ showed up, and he's kind of like this, he's just another way. The reality is there's no way. There's not a way under the law. There's not a way to get to heaven under the law. There's not a way outside of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ says, I am the way, he means, I am the way. He doesn't mean I'm another way. He doesn't mean I'm a secondary way. I'm a way in addition to whatever's going on. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know what it is? It's a gift. You know what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7? Ask, ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But you know what's going to keep people from looking for God's righteousness? Their own righteousness. If I'm already, what do I need with God? That's what, you know, we're having that conversation the other day, and it's like, if the only thing that's going to keep you from seeking forgiveness is the fact that you don't even believe you've done anything wrong. All right, you're in Romans 5, look in verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. See, there it is. That's the foundation of the whole thing. Grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You're in Romans. Let's look at a couple more in Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Romans 8, 10. Romans 8:10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. You know what it is? It's a foundation. It's a foundation God can build on. It's access to the blessings of God now. So God, in the Old Testament, credits Abraham and anyone who would believe. He credits Abraham with righteousness. And you know what he's allowed to do or able to do after he credits God, credits Abraham with righteousness? He's allowed to put some, he's going to be able to build some things on Abraham now. Righteousness is a foundation. It's something God can build on. It's access into blessings of God. All right, you're in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That is God's righteousness. Look at this one. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Look at this one. Galatians 2:21. This one, some folks really need to pay attention to. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Here's the point. You get to Matthew. Matthew spends the first chapter describing the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, describing the miraculous fulfillment of all these events in the Old Testament and surrounding the early childhood of Jesus Christ. Then Matthew describes in chapter 2, you know, some fulfillments and Herod trying to kill Jesus Christ. He's preserved, he's saved out of physical death at that time, goes down to Egypt. But all of these fulfillments and miraculous events around the birth of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist is introduced and he's preaching Jesus Christ. He's saying, look, he's here. Now the axe is laid to the root. Now this is God is setting and establishing his righteousness now. This is his righteousness. And he points to Jesus Christ over and over and over. Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. And then in Matthew 5, some folks get the idea that all of a sudden Jesus Christ starts teaching, hey, just go keep the law. After pointing to Jesus Christ, Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Matthew 3, Matthew 4, Jesus Christ is not saying, keep the law for a couple years and then when I die, then believe on me. He's saying, I am righteous. I am God's way. There's not another way. If before Jesus Christ, someone would look to God for mercy, God would offer mercy. That's David. David didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He didn't even know who Jesus Christ is. But you know what he did? He looked to God for mercy. And you know what he got? He got mercy from God. You know what he didn't have? His own righteousness. You know what Abraham did when he believed God? He forsook his own righteousness. I'm not good enough. Yeah, there are maybe some times in my life where I do some good things, but I've got sin. I live in this sinful body. So before Jesus Christ shows up, people are still looking to God for mercy and righteousness and help. They may not know who it's going to be in. They're just looking for God for help. And Jesus Christ says, knock and it shall be opened and all those things. But then when Jesus Christ shows up, he doesn't start teaching them, hey, by the way, just go ahead and keep the law. The law could never do this. That's what Paul explains. He says, listen, if there was a law that said, do this and have eternal life, then Jesus Christ is here for nothing. He's not here to offer a different way. He's not here to offer an alternative. He's not here to say, hey, you can choose me or you can choose to keep the law. Take your pick. Why does he not say? Because there's not another way. Jesus Christ is in person the righteousness of God. And so understand and remember, every heresy, every false doctrine makes much of man and brings Jesus Christ down to something he's not. It says, well, there's some other ways. You don't really need Jesus Christ. And even among sometimes Bible-believing folks, they'll say, well, there's another way to do this. If there's another way, Jesus Christ doesn't need to die. If there's another way, Paul says, Jesus Christ is dead in vain. You know why he died on the cross? Because there's no other way. There's not another way. And so when God establishes righteousness in a man, he says, all right, on the basis of this man now, I will give, not only like I gave Abraham, not only like I credited Abraham, but now my righteousness has been established in a man, and I will give you all of the spiritual blessings in that man. If you will come to me on the basis of Jesus Christ, I will offer you all the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the foundation of the whole thing. Here's what when Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, and God the Father says, baptism, John the Baptist baptizing, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm not pleased with you keeping the law. I mean, that's a good thing. The law is a good thing, but the law isn't going to give you the righteousness you need. It's a good thing to abide by the law. It's a good thing not to kill people. That's a good thing. But by you not doing that, you don't have eternal life. God's going to have to give you the gift of eternal life. He's going to have to give you the gift of righteousness. He's going to have to give you forgiveness. Those aren't things you earn. That's why he said, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You know how to give good gifts to your children and your evil. How much more does a good Father, Heavenly Father, know how to give good things? The point is, all the good things that you and I need are gifts. We get them by God giving them and offering them, not by us working for them. And so, righteousness, all those things, when go back to Matthew and we'll see this other thing here. Enter ye in, he says, at the straight gate. Matthew 7:15 says this. Enter ye in at the straight gate. All right, you understand the gate is righteousness. Access into these blessings, into this kingdom, comes by righteousness. But then he says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know why there's few that find that? Because they're not looking for it. He says over there in Proverbs, he says, every man, put it this way, he says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's righteousness. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You do things, I do things, and we justify what we do. We need revelation from God to tell us what we're actually doing. Because we got our own ways. And absent of God's light on our ways, we're just right. Until we find out we're not right. Until we find out this isn't the way to live. This isn't what God wants out of this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. So, to men, you say, are there false gods? Yeah, there's false gods, but I'm not an idol worshiper. Are people covetous? Yeah, people are covetous, but not me. You know what you are? You're just right in your own eyes. Just justify everything you do, everything you think, every behavior you have. Are people adulterers and fornicators? Yeah, but not me. But no, you don't understand my situation. You know, I say that 100 times. I'm the example. God is a respecter of my life. God is not a respecter of your life. He's not a respecter of my life. He's a respecter of Jesus Christ. There's someone says, you know, that guy's a liar, or they always lie. But, you know, my lies are not that big. You know what that is? It's just justification. Every man is right in his own eyes until you get some light on your own behavior. Proverbs, he says, listen to this, going back to the straight gate, narrow, and all that kind of stuff. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Seems right. You know, when I look at it, when I consider things, it seems right. This decision to live together because it makes financial sense, that seems right. And God says, that's called fornication. But it seems right. There's a way which seems right unto a man. Listen to this. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You know what he said? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But the gate that enters into life is narrow. You know how many ways you have to destruction? As many as you want. Anything outside of Jesus Christ is a way to destruction. Anything. Whatever you conjure up, whatever other religions conjure up, anything outside of Jesus Christ is a way to destruction. Broad is the way, he says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Why do they keep going this way? Why do people keep going this way? Because it just seems right to them. They won't accept anything from God. They don't even see their need for God. So they're not looking for righteousness. They're not looking for forgiveness. They're not looking for justification. So that's what Jesus Christ says. There's going to be few people that find it because you got to be looking for it. And if you're right in your own eyes, you're not looking for it. It's a popular way. It's broad. It's the way to destruction, the way to death is popular. You'll find a crowd on this road. You know what you won't find a crowd on the other road. Let me give you an example. How many people in your lifetime, you can probably count on one hand, maybe two hands, how many people have had a conversation with you about forgiveness in Jesus Christ? But you've probably met hundreds of people. But nobody's on the road. Nobody's on that narrow road. I remember I was working up in East Texas, and so we're driving around town there, and there were some folks, and they were handing out tracts, chick tracts. They're handing out tracts, and they're kind of in the middle of the road there, and handing out tracts. And I grabbed one, and I said, "Man, thank you guys for doing this." And I thought, that's something I haven't seen in years. I've had Jehovah's Witness at the door. I've, you know, not very often, but they'll knock at the door. You know what the few crowd is? The ones offering forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You'll go through thousands of people and you won't find one offering you forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Us in this building here, we all say we're saved. I think most of us say we're saved. You've trusted Jesus Christ. And you think about it in your own life. Are you the one that just passes by people and just part of the broad way? You know what the broad way is? It's just everybody. I go through hundreds and meet thousands or whatever, hundreds of people. And then on occasion, I'll actually meet somebody that offers a tract, that wants to talk about what Jesus Christ has done. But you know how few and far between that is? You know what Jesus Christ says? It's narrow. You're not going to find very many people here. You won't find very many people on this road. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And then he says this, the few that find that narrow gate, They found it because they were looking for it. Look in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Paul says this, or the Holy Spirit through Paul says this: what shall we say then? That the Gentiles are just anybody that's not a Jew. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. He's comparing Jews and Gentiles. The Pharisees, the Jews had the law, and they thought because they had the law, because they had the crossing of the Red Sea, they had some history with God, that they were good. And then Jesus Christ shows up and talks to a Pharisee named Nicodemus and says, listen, you must be born again. Your Jewish history, your Jewish physical makeup doesn't make you right with God. It may have given you some advantage, but it doesn't make you right with God. So he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's not, I'm not talking to a Gentile. So the controversy is, how are these Gentiles getting in? And then Paul's explaining it. Verse 30, what shall we say then? And then he answers the question, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So God gave them the law. They thought, oh, we're good because we got the law. And then God planted in the middle of Israel a stumbling stone and said, there's my righteousness. If you want in on this, there's my righteousness. All my law, all the prophets pointed to my righteousness. You're not going to keep the law and get eternal life. Eternal life is in the stone that I'm placing in Zion, Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, he ties righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ to the stone. Go back to a place we've started in. Look back in Psalm 118, because the psalmist did the same thing. Kind of come full circle here. Psalm 118, verse 19. Psalm 118, 19. Remember this one, we just read it at the beginning. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Now watch. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen to that. Jesus Christ in Matthew 7 is not explaining how people need to go under the commandments and obtain salvation. Jesus Christ is explaining everything that's been said, every promise of God, every blessing of God is wrapped up in me, and the basis for all of these blessings is the righteousness of God. And Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And so he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Some of the new versions say, enter ye in at the straight gate, for hard is the way. It's not hard. You just have to be looking for it. It's not dependent on what you do or whether you put out enough effort. What it's dependent on is whether you're willing to give up your own righteousness or not. You know what? One of the hardest things that people that trust Jesus Christ, or hopefully they trust Jesus Christ, and then you know, after you trust Jesus Christ, you still sin. And if it were up to you to keep your salvation, you wouldn't have it 5 minutes, and I wouldn't have it 5 minutes. Thank God for the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and where Paul says, quoting David, "Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin." You know what that is? Justification. That is righteousness. That is God saying, "I am not willing to charge you with any more crimes. I'm not going to charge you with anything else. I offer you righteousness freely as a gift. I offer you eternal life freely as a gift. I offer you justification freely as a gift. I offer you forgiveness freely. The only caveat is you need to be looking for it. And if you don't think you've done wrong, if you don't think you need to be justified before God, if you don't think you need forgiveness, you know what you're not looking for? You're not looking for God's forgiveness. So Jesus Christ says, look, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it, because they're the ones looking for it. And that's what he's trying to say. This is the straight and narrow. It's not a path where you got to keep these rules. And if you keep these rules, then you might be acceptable. You and I, we're not acceptable. Jesus Christ is acceptable. Get in Jesus Christ, just like Noah, get in the ark. Get in the ark, and all the blessings will be in there, in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, we'll get out of here.